Let me hear your words above all other voices, above all the distractions in this world.
Welcome to Two Wings to God. I'm your host, Rob Agnelli. With the election less than 1 month away, many of us are struggling to choose candidates that represent us as Catholics. We hear so much about voting according to our conscience, but don't really know what that means, especially because the word conscience seems so vague. Instead, the goal should be to vote with an informed conscience. And for a better understanding of what this means, stay tuned to today's episode. We live in an age when fact and truth are viewed as essentially the same thing. In this setting, when we speak of the word informed or an informed conscience, we assume that this means their conscience is filled with all the relevant facts and comparisons to make a good decision. But when the Church speaks of an informed conscience, she uses the term informed in the same sense that we say that a soul informs the body, that is, brings life to it. So an informed conscience is a conscience which is fully alive. An informed conscience is able to recognize that not all goods and not all evils are equal. An informed conscience knows that there's no life in a seamless garment approach to morality. Instead, it recognizes that there are certain acts that are always evil, regardless of how good a person's intentions are. And to help us in seeing how these evils present themselves in the political life, the Church has given us five so-called non-negotiables. The first four are related to the protection of life at its most vulnerable stages, that is, abortion, euthanasia, embryonic stem cell research, and human cloning, all of which are such grave offenses against human life that they can never be ordered to the good. Likewise, the fifth is support for so-called same-sex marriage. These are non-negotiable, not because we are stubborn, but because they are aligned so closely with things that are so good for us as human beings, and they form the basis of natural law, that a society that's built upon these is a society ultimately that will crumble. It is grave matter for candidates to vote for a candidate that supports policies that promote any of these five. When we vote for these candidates, even when it is not our intention to support those particular policies, we still cooperate in evil. Now, certainly our level of cooperation may be remote, but it still remains true that without our votes, these evils could not be promoted by our civil law. Because of their position on these, Catholics are often accused of being single-issue voters. But this is not exactly accurate. And an example hopefully will make this clear. Now, suppose I take you in my time machine parked outside to Berlin in 1932 and ask you to cast a vote for or against Hitler. How would you vote and why? Despite all the robust economic policies that brought Germany out of the ashes of World War I, the restoration of German military might, you would still vote no. Why? The reason is simple. No matter how good he may do in those other areas, you would not vote for him because his platform advocated mass murder of innocent people. This means that a single issue would cause you to withhold your vote. And so it is the same with Catholics today. We should not vote for a particular candidate based on their stance on a single issue. But their stance could be a reason to disqualify them from consideration. So even if a candidate is pro-life, for example, this doesn't mean we should vote for them. That just means that they can be in the running. We must then also look at the other policies and see how they promote and protect the common good. So we do not cast our vote based on a single issue, but we certainly withhold our vote based on a single issue. Pope Benedict XVI, when he was still a cardinal, summarized this principle well in a document that he issued to deal with when Catholics may receive communion. Here's what he says, quote, "Not all moral issues have the same moral weight as abortion and euthanasia. For example, if a Catholic were to be at odds with the Holy Father on the application of capital punishment, or on a decision to wage war, he would not for that reason be considered unworthy to present himself to receive Holy Communion. While the Church exhorts civil authorities to seek peace, not war, and to exercise discretion and mercy in imposing punishment on criminals, it may still be permissible to take up arms to repel an aggressor, or to have recourse to capital punishment. There may be a legitimate diversity of opinion even among Catholics about waging war and applying the death penalty. But, and this is important, but not, however, with regard to abortion and euthanasia." End quote. Well, what about voting for candidates that may be in favor of one of these non-negotiables, but whose office has no effect on policies related to these non-negotiables? Even though these issues may seem tangential, they are still important indicators. The first virtue we should look for in a candidate for any office is prudence. A person who cannot identify something that is intrinsically evil shows a total lack of prudence. Secondly, these lower offices are often stepping stones into higher and more influential offices. It is better to stop their ambitions before they even get any steam going. An informed conscience is also an uncompromising conscience. All too often, we'll say something like, since there's no hope of overturning Roe v. Wade, we should not even worry about whether someone is pro-choice or pro-life, but instead focus on the candidate whose social programs will reduce the number of abortions. This position, however, once we look at it a little more closely, amounts to a compromise with evil. And in fact, when we look at it even closer, we see it is untenable. Pope St. John Paul II spoke of what he termed the art of the possible in his encyclical Evangelium Vitae. He said that in some societies, it may not be possible to completely overturn laws that support intrinsic evils, such as abortion, in one fell swoop. Instead, we might need to legislate in pieces, each piece limiting the number of abortions, while at the same time moving the social consciousness towards laws that abolish it altogether. Now, you might say that this sounds very similar to the position of social programs to reduce abortion, but there's an important exception to this. The legislation that the Holy Father speaks of must have the intention of reducing the number of abortions and not just be a mere side effect. Social programs that purport to reduce poverty may also have the side effect of reducing the number of abortions, but that is only accidental, especially when there is an overall platform that promotes and even provides them. Now, an uncompromising conscience is also one in which the Catholic will call an evil for what it is and not simply attempt to make the evil safe and legal. Still, an uncompromising conscience may have recourse to the art of the possible and fight intrinsic evils piecemeal if necessary. A good example of this is during the vice presidential debate in 2012, Congressman Ryan gave us an example of how an uncompromising conscience uses this art of the possible. He was even criticized for it at the time, but he has been very clear from the outset that abortion is always gravely evil. Still, he was part of a ticket which would not make the so-called abortion in hard cases, rape and incest in particular, illegal. This is not because he was capitulating, but because he recognizes that making abortion illegal in 99.9% of the cases will not only significantly reduce the number of abortions, but ultimately lead to a greater awareness that abortion is always wrong, even in the cases where the mother was a victim of a violent crime. Finally, and especially relevant to this election, there are many who will argue that the best approach when confronted with two candidates, both of whom support an intrinsic evil, is to refrain from voting at all. But in our two-party system, this really ignores the fact that one of the candidates will in fact win the election. One should vote then, consistent with their judgment, as to which candidate will do the least amount of moral harm. A vote cast to limit the amount of intrinsic evil is morally legitimate. So then, imagine, if you can, an America in which nearly 70 million Catholics voted as a single block. Imagine how far candidates would be willing to go to cater to 22% of the voters. This is why we must understand all these principles and be able to clearly articulate them, especially to our fellow Catholics, and present them to our friends as well. There's still time to help others see that it is not just about wanting to get our way, not just about being better off than we were 4 years ago, but that these Catholic principles are the foundation of a just and peaceful society. St. Thomas More, pray for us. For more on this and other aspects of the faith, navigate over to www.twowingstogod.com. That's www.twowingstogod.com.